We're doing the book of Micha. We're up to what's called the second chapter. The Navi describes how they were stealing from one another consistently. And that's why the Navi said, Kumu lechu, get out of here, God says. Ki lozot amnucha. I didn't give you a land to settle down, to rest in, so that you steal from one another. Ba'avut tomat techabel b'cheven nimratz. Because you've defiled the land. That's why the land will destroy you, as we described last time, the Ramban about Sodom and Amorah, that the land of Israel can't handle certain immoral activities. It's different than any other land. And so Hashem says, if you've been immoral, the land won't stand it. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Lu ish holechu ach vasheker kizev atif lecha layayin vela shechar. The Navi says, Lu ish, if they'd come across a person, holech ruach vasheker kizev, who goes after the wind, after lies, and that person would say, atif lecha layayin vela shechar. The person would say, I'll tell you, I will give you prophecy, and as your prophet, I will tell you, go drink wine. Go drink aged wine. That's the type of person they would want as a prophet. Luish, if they'd come across a person, holech ruach, that goes with the wind, v'sheker kizev, and he's a liar. Atif lecha, but he's willing to preach. Layayin v'lashechav. Go drink your wine. Dayam atif hamazeh. Then that's the person they want as their prophet. That's the person they want to listen to. But if the prophet says, don't drink, then no one wants to listen to him. So Hashem says, okay. If you're not willing to listen to the true prophet, so then it's fitting that you leave the land of truth, the land of Israel. Asof esof Yaakov kulach kabeitz akabeitz sheirit Israel yachad asimenu ketzon botzra. Hashem says, asof esof Yaakov. Now Hashem says, even though I will punish you, I will exile you, ultimately I'll bring you back. The Navi is turning to words of amelioration. The Navi says, I will ultimately bring you back. Kabetz akabetz sherit Israel. I will regather the remnants of Israel. Yachad asimenu, and then I will gather them, bring them all together. Ketzon botzra, like sheep that's been fenced in to protect them. Botzra over here is a play on words. We have the Nevuah in Yeshaya. The Navi says that when the time will come that Edomites will be destroyed, so the vision of prophecy is Mize Bame Edom Chamutz Begadim Mi Botzra, that the angel is coming, or God is coming from Botzra, where his clothes are all red, because that's where he killed the angel of Edom. So the word Botzra represents the place where the enemies of Israel will be destroyed. And here the Navi is using it as a play on words, not the city Batzra, but rather from the word Mivtzar. Mivtzar is a fortification. And Hashem says, I will regather them, I will place them like sheep that have been fortified, sheep that have been fenced in to protect them. Ke'eder betoch hadovrot tehimena meyadam. Like a flock that's put into a corral, or whatever you call it. How do you call the place you store sheep?
Pen.
Okay. So Hashem says that just like the sheep go to their pen naturally, and when you're standing by the pen, you hear all them neighing, baying, however you say that. You hear the sounds, you just hear
bleeding,
yeah, that's the word. Ah, I'm going to learn English by the end of this. You hear all the bleedings, you hear the sheep, so too, you're going to hear a ruckus of people gathering back to Israel. Again, remember the Navi speaks about Am Yisrael like Hashem's sheep. The Navi Yecheskel teaches us this concept. Batim tzoni tzon mariti. The Navi Yecheskel says, you are my flock. Right? The Paskin Yecheskel. So here again, we go back to that metaphor of the Jewish people being Hashem's flock. Allah poreitz lifneihem. Before they ascend to the land of Israel, there will be someone who ascends before them, and he will break forth the way. And the idea here is that Elio is going to come, on one understanding. The idea is that Elio is going to come, and he will come and break the fences. And the idea here is the fences of our hearts, that where we're limited in our concepts. And Hashem says, Allah poretz lifnehem, the guy who's going to break the fences will ascend before them. Paretzu v'yavoru. And when the people in exile break the fences and they go through the breaches in the fence to come up to redemption, again, play on words, the fences of the heart versus the fences that are fencing them in exile. He's talking about both terms in the Pasuk. Allah poretz lifnehem, the one who breaks the fences will ascend before them. That's a reference to the fences of our hearts. Paltzu v'yavoru, and they themselves will break the fences of their exile, and then they themselves will move forward. And here this can also be understood as the idea that Hashem starts the process, and then it's up to us to continue the process. Meaning Eliyahu will encourage us and will connect us again to Eretz Yisrael and to doing tshuva and coming back to Hashem. And then it's up to us to take that impetus and move forward with it. Which if you think about is part of the idea of Yetziat Mitzrayim. I once gave a speech 2 years ago to a bunch of bachelors. I don't think anyone liked me after that speech. But it was just before Pesach. And one of the things I told them is that this concept, the concept in this Pasuk, that Hashem starts the process of redemption in our hearts, but it's up to us to move that concept forward. That was the concept in Yetzias Mitzrayim as well. Hashem appeared, showed us time and again that He runs the show, turned the Nile, the Egyptian god, into blood. Took the frogs, which was the Egyptian god of fertility, and showed us that He controls them. One after another, each plague showed on a different level that Hashem is controlling the world. And then we're nearing the end of the 10 plagues, and 4 out of 5 people are not willing to leave Mitzrayim. So they don't. 4 out of 5 Jews die in Mitzrayim. Hashem says, I'm going to start the redemption of your hearts. I'm going to give you the first steps to reconnect you. But it's up to you to take the next steps. And if you're not going to take the steps, if a person does not evolve, then there comes a time when the actual redemption is at the doorstep, but the person won't be able to go out of the door. We see in Mitzrayim, 4 out of 5 Jews were not ready to take that step. They did not evolve as far as their neshama, their intellect, however you want to call it. And what I told them is that it's the same thing with marriage. There's a point where you have to take a few steps forward, and the geula is as big as you're willing to let it be. Meaning Hashem is willing to give us a big geula, but it's up to us to make it there. We have the same story with the second redemption. Hashem sent us, Chazal say, that the prophecy when we left Mitzrayim, this is a double-edged sword. On one end, you see when they left Mitzrayim, they already knew they would be exiled from Israel. Because they're seeing a prophetic vision in Oziyashir where they're saying, Ad Yavom Hashem, Ad Yavom Zukanita. Till your nation crosses into Israel, till they cross into Israel again. Why are they talking about 2 crossings into the land of Israel? So we have on tradition that part of the prophecy of Oziyashir was that they recognized that they would be exiled. The first temple would not be eternal. And Chazal say that in their prophetic vision, they saw the potential that the second coming into the land of Israel would be as miraculous as the first coming. But that would be contingent on the Jews wanting to leave Chutz La'aretz like they did when they left Mitzrayim. And that didn't happen. We didn't live up to our end of the deal. We didn't want to leave when Ezra came. So most of the Jews stayed in Chutz La'aretz. Ezra had to force people. He had to twist people's arms. He had to threaten people. And then people joined them, and even so, only those that were on the bottom rung of society, whose arm could be twisted, all the top people, all the wealthy people, they stayed in Chutz La'aretz. They didn't want to come to Israel. So We see with each redemption, be it the redemption from Mitzrayim, be it the redemption from Babylon, and be it the future redemption, that this is the way it works. Allah ha-poetz lifnayim. God says, I will preach the way before you, and I will give you the capacity to do tshuva and to connect to a greater redemption. But then it's up to you. Are you going to connect or not? Paltsuva yavogu. You have to break forward. You have to advance. You have to advance as far as your neshama, your tshuva, your advancements. And then the geula will be great geula. Yeah.
So this is being spoken to the northern kingdom, correct? This prophecy.
This is on the surface. He's talking to the northern kingdom.
So I mean, we talked about the coming back from Babylon to the southern kingdom, which was Judah.
That's a good question.
So it's like he's saying, "You're my sheep. I'm going to gather you. I'm going to protect you." But we don't even know. It's 10 times, like where they are. Like it seems like they just disappeared into the nations and assimilated.
So that's why I said on the surface. I don't know if the interpretation of this nevuah, whether it applies to the northern kingdom or not, will be contingent on the machloket of whether the northern kingdom is ever making it back or not. Meaning, there are a few machlokot. One is, are the northern kingdom ever coming back? That's a mission in the end of Sanhedrin. It's also a Sifri. It's a machlokas, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yeshua. It's a big machlokas in the end of Sanhedrin. That's one question. Then there's another question, a machlokas in the Gemara and Megillah, whether a large segment of the 10 tribes made it back within the southern kingdom and were exiled together with them. We know some of them were mixed into the southern kingdom. We know that today we have every Shevet among us, but how many? How many were brought back? So that's a machlokas in the Gemara and Megillah. So I'm not sure if the interpretation of this prophecy would be contingent on those two machlokot. Meaning, is he talking to the northern kingdom or the southern kingdom? If he's talking to the northern kingdom, is that only according to the opinions that they're coming back? And otherwise, maybe he's talking to those that will be re-exiled with the southern kingdom, if he's talking to the northern kingdom. So there are two questions I have here. I don't know. And it could just be that he's talking to the southern kingdom. He did switch and talk to the kingdom of Judea somewhere in the first chapter. I'm not sure which kingdom he's talking to here. See in Pasuk Yud Gimel, he's talking to the daughter of Zion. On the surface, it seems he's talking to the southern kingdom. You see in Pasuk Tet, he turns and he starts talking to the southern kingdom. And then he speaks about the other nations, and then he turns back to Israel. So who's he turning back to in the second chapter? Is he talking to the southern kingdom, the northern kingdom? I'm not sure. Yeah? In the first chapter, he spoke to both. He started off talking to the southern kingdom, he went on to speak to the northern kingdom, and then he went on to speak to the southern kingdom.
It could also be still talking about Israel, because it's saying like one of Israel's sins that they caused
Judah
to sin.
Which you Tet? Tet.
This is
yeah.
It could be a sin of Israel that caused Yehuda.
Mm-hmm.
And no, it's not so much talking about Yehuda, it's talking about Israel and how it's spread its bad influence.
Yeah.
I could see what you're saying as well, but it feels more natural to me that it's still talking about Israel.
About the northern kingdom. Okay.
You said Yud Gimel also as well as.
Yeah, but all of those are non-conclusive. You could understand all of them both ways. The Mtsudot learned, we discussed this when we started, that all of his prophecies were focused to or at least they were said in the land of Judean territory, that he never prophesied in the northern territory. He lived in the south and he prophesied in the south. Now, does that mean that all his prophecies were focused on the south? We see not that way. It says, Asher Chazal Shomron v'Yerushalayim. His prophecies were about both. I don't know. Okay. So again, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Allah ha-poretz lifnayim paretzuhu v'yavoru shahar v'yetzuhu vo. So they will breach forward. They will break the fences. And they will advance themselves. Vayavo malkam lifnehem vadonai birosham. When they return, their king will go before them, and Hashem will go in advance of all of them, and Hashem will return His presence to Zion. So it seems on the surface that there will be a king leading us back. This prophecy seems to indicate that the Mashiach will lead us back from exile. So we already discussed many times that there's a Medrash that says we will come back to the land of Israel and then be re-exiled from the land of Israel and Mashiach will bring us back. There's a Medrash that says that Mashiach will rule over us in Israel and then there'll be a great war and we will lose the war and we will all be exiled to the desert and Mashiach will go with us to the desert. And then just like Moshe left us for 40 days and 40 nights in the desert, so too Mashiach will leave us either for 40 days or for 40 years. And we'll suddenly find ourselves all alone, and then Mashiach will lead us back into the land of Israel. So this prophecy could be about the return, even though the simple reading is that the Mashiach is going to lead us the first time out of exile. But okay, who knows? Yeah.
Is that Mashiach ben David, Mashiach ben Yosef, or?
Good question. It doesn't say. I would assume it's Mashiach ben David, but I'm not sure that's a correct assumption. Okay, Pasuk Aleph. I guess we'll pick up here next time.